Now, if you and I are really going to understand the importance that diverse tongues plays in God's government, then we're going to have to take it from the Word of God. So follow me very close, and if you understand what I'm about to tell you about the basics of prayer, you'll never again let anybody discredit or remove diverse tongues from an important place in the government of God. If you'll listen to me very closely this morning, nor will you ever again let people talk you out of the importance of praying in the Holy Ghost. And my Father has promised me this, that I can pass it on to you. That if you'll continue faithful in getting to know God by His Spirit, that 5 years from now, you will not look back over your life and have it been the same. One day like the next. 1 month like the next. Until 3 years slips by and 4 years, and you're just defeated and just as unchanged as when you entered in. If you'll pursue Him by the Spirit, then 5 years will not go by that you'll look back and in your personal life have experienced no growth or no change. So let's look at the role that diverse tongues plays very closely in His government and in the ability of Him to set us free. So look at the first verse of 1 Corinthians 12. Now he says, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I'd not have you ignorant. Well, as I've said so many times before, that makes us even, because if there's one area I do not want to be ignorant in, it is concerning the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. But to be frank with you, that's one area that it seems that we're shy in this generation. But one thing you can rest assured, when Paul makes a statement like that concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant, that before he even finishes this chapter, he'll supply enough information to eradicate our ignorance. Now, as faith people, as Pentecostal people, we pride ourselves in knowing all about the 9 gifts of the Spirit. It's too bad we didn't pride ourselves more in knowing how to operate in the 9 gifts of the Spirit. But one thing for sure, that we do know that there's 9 gifts of the Spirit. But these 9 gifts, they empower, or they supply the power and the qualification for 8 total operations of God. And these 8 total operations of God that are empowered by the 9 gifts of the Spirit are divided up into 3 categories. So how do you know this? I know it by the Spirit of God because of mysteries. He said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I'd not have you ignorant. 9 gifts that empower 8 operations. If we're going to understand the role that basic prayer plays, then let's once again look at these 8 operations, beginning with the 27th verse. He says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular, which is simply to say, I am an individual member in a vast body called the body of Christ. How many are you born again? You born again? How many filled with the Holy Ghost? Then you are called right now and separated in your spirit to fill one of these 8 operations or more. If you're saved or filled with the Holy Ghost, then you're called. You are called to fulfill one or more of these 8 operations. That's why they're divided up into 3 categories. Now, it'd behoove you to listen very closely, because one of these operations that I read, you're called to fill powerfully by the power of the Holy Spirit. One of these is yours. Do you know, Brother Roberson? No, I don't know. That measure of faith has been placed on the inside of you in seed form. It's in your seed, not mine. But you are called to fill one or more of these 8 operations, and they are in divine order, beginning in verse 28. And God has set some in the church, what? First apostles, Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles, which is the fourth operation. Gifts of healings is the fifth operation. Helps and governments is the sixth and seventh operations. And the eighth operation is what? What? Tell me what? One complete operation of God is called diversities of tongues. Now, the ones that we hear the most about is pastor, evangelist, and teacher. We hear some about the office of the prophet. I'm sad to report most of the reports on the prophets are not prophets that have been qualified by the Holy Ghost. They're mostly self-acclaimed. So we don't know a whole lot about the office of a prophet in our day. Kenneth Hagin is a prophet. We hear a lot about the office of an apostle. They say that T.L. Osborne is an apostle. William Branham was a prophet. And we know all about these offices. We know all about helps and governments. But the office that we do not, or the operation, know very much about is the operation or the office of the diversities of tongues. Why don't we? It's listed in the government of God. Why don't we? In the nine gifts of the Spirit, it's listed as the eighth gift, diverse tongues. Why don't we know very much about it? The devil is so afraid of it, he's running around the country trying to discredit it. One group says, well, you're not getting anywhere with God praying in tongues unless you're in a warring tongue. So kalabasa, shalabaka, and shouting at the devil. And the problem with that is the Word of God says when you pray in tongues, you're not talking to men, you're talking to God. And you don't need to shout tongues at Him because He's not deaf. But in case you did shout tongues at Him, He's not nervous either. But if you think you're producing more for the kingdom by shouting tongues than you are praying under your breath in them, you're not. Because He's creating the supernatural language in your spirit. You didn't create it. He created it. And the moment it comes out of your mouth, it's released to God. If you're whispering it or screaming it, it doesn't make any difference. The word that comes out of your spirit in tongues still means the same thing whether you shouted it or whispered it. Because you're talking to God. Where does the emotions come from? They're added when the tongues passes through the soul realm. I don't mind adding emotions. Sometimes I get excited. Scare some of you. What do you, I do that when I get excited? That's an emotion. Then sometimes intercession comes on me where I feel all this power pouring out of my spirit and He slides me in to stand the gap for something. It's incredible amounts of power that flows through a person at that time. And see, the devil's tried to utterly confuse tongues because he wanted you finally to get discouraged over it and just to quit using it altogether. But yet one whole operation of God, a whole operation is given to it. See, many of the gifts of the Spirit are given to an operation and qualifies it, such as the prophet will operate in many. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, workings of miracles, prophecy. Many of the gifts qualifies his office. But a whole operation, an entire operation in his government was given to the diversities of tongues. The question is, why? See, notice he called it diverse tongues. It means diversities are different supernatural flows or manifestations of tongues. The one I'm most familiar with is tongues for my own personal edification, and I know that's the one you're most familiar with. And the second one we're most familiar with is tongues for interpretation, which we see in public assemblies. And the third that you're most familiar with is tongues that extends itself in deep intercessional groanings of the Spirit. And the fourth is tongues that presents itself as a sign to the unbeliever when He empowers you to testify, preach, witness in any language on the face of this earth that you had no previous knowledge of. And when you start preaching in someone's native language which you did not know, that's a sign to the unbeliever personified, is it not? This is why he calls it diverse tongues. It is an entire operation of God, and it has been placed into his government to serve a purpose. And to deny it is to deny the perfecting of the body of Christ. So let's find out why God would donate an entire operation to the diversities of tongues. And to do so, let's divide it up into these three categories. Category number one is the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the preacher, and the evangelist. The workings of miracles and gifts of healings also fit in that category, category one, because in the office of workings of miracles, gifts of healings, and teacher is also encompassed the pastor and the evangelist. And the pastor many times will also hold the teacher's office. So apostle, prophet, teacher, workings of miracles, and gifts of healings is the first category. And it also includes evangelist and pastor. And that category is given for the maturing of the saints. The reason is because we handle the Word of God, which brings you from milk to strong meat, and is given to you for your maturing and the increasal of your faith for instruction and correction. So the reason that you're matured is because you're weaned from the breast, and the fivefold ministry is called by God to handle the Word. So it is given to you and I for the maturing of the saints. The next category, the second category, is helps and governments. And helps and governments is given for the work of the ministry. Helps and governments, the second category. And it is given for the work of the ministry. Once again, category number one, apostle, prophet, teacher, workings of miracles, gifts of healings, which also encompass evangelist and pastor, is given for the maturing of the saints. Category number two, helps and governments, is given for the work of the ministry. And that brings us to category number three. And category number three is a category all unto itself with four diversities. Category number three is divers tongues. And divers tongues is given for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now to see this more clearly, let's go on over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Look at the 10th verse. In fact, he's saying the same thing. He's lining the government out. Saying the same thing. Only let's catch it. Because if God donated one entire operation, the third category, to divers tongues, then it would behoove you and I to find out from the Word of God the role of importance that this plays in our own personal lives. Because no matter what operation you're called by God to fulfill, every one of you has access to this third category. That is divers tongues and the edification you and I receive from praying in the Holy Ghost. So look at the 10th verse very, very closely, which says, He that descended is he also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. There's your fivefold. Now, what did he give them for in the first category? Notice the 12th verse. For the perfecting or the maturing of the saints. It took me a long time. The people tried to fight me out of the revelation of praying in tongues. I mean strong people that said you can get messed up from praying in tongues too much. So they tried to counsel me. Not exactly counsel as it was much contending, because I wouldn't take counsel. You try to talk me out of praying, I won't take your counsel. Hallelujah. And people that's run away from the prayer center saying,
well, they put too much emphasis on prayer.
Now, let's divide this north from south. Let's go clear to one extreme. You tell me, what's wrong with prayer? What are you fighting? And people tried to contend and discourage and preach and teach. And when tongues was in the prayer in it was picking up momentum, people felt obligated to stand up and bring correction to the poor body of Christ about overextending themselves in prayer. And for a long time, when the government of God was taught by many of them that seemed to be somewhat among them, and I would hear the way that they taught government according to Ephesians 4, it was the most exciting thing, and I can tell you why. They taught this to me when I first entered phase 2, and God exploded me on the camp meeting scene. And way down inside, for the first few years, I kind of began to think that I was something among them. Thank God since then, He's healed me. My wife was the first one to really catch it. Aren't they funny? I mean, wives see it first usually when you start getting funny. I was having this big camp meeting, you know, in Omaha, Nebraska. And I was the low man on the pole. They brought me in and just put me where they wanted. Even though I did get night meetings, I usually ended up with the afternoon ones. Anyway, you know when everybody eats and wants to sleep between meetings? But I didn't mind. And God started giving so much. God did giving so much during those meetings that we did that finally the man in charge of it come and said, we would like you to come out and receive the offerings in about every service, even though these other guys are going to speak. So I said, okay. And so they would come in like I do in a camp meeting. You know, I come in during the song service sometime, just pray and stay in the spirit till I walk up front. So they wasn't coming in during the time I was receiving the offering, and it was starting to get to me. So we were riding in the elevator, and some little sheep spouted out across the head of the people saying, boy, they ought to hear you teach. And I said, yeah, if they'd hung around long enough, they would. My wife caught it. And she got me. But see, the teaching I was receiving on government wasn't helping my situation any. Every time I'd hear governments taught, my head would get a little fatter because I'd think myself to be more somewhat among them each time, because this is the way they taught government. Now notice how it reads. He says, apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor, for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So I don't know how many times I've been introduced as, and God has given him to us as a gift to the body of Christ for the maturing of the saints so they can do the work of the ministry so the body of Christ will be edified. But it all went back up the ladder to how great we were, that we were a special gift given to you for your maturing so you could do the work of the ministry so the church would be edified. And the whole reason you were edified and matured is because of the great gift that resided down on the inside of me. Well, thank God. You got to keep praying in the Holy Ghost and speaking mysteries up to the Father. He'll straighten you out. You know, when God put me... He sent me for a long run on a short rope. And it kind of jerked the slack out of me. And then when he included, revealed to my spirit through a mystery, the role that divers played, or tongues, in his government, I was so shocked. In fact, it was in these last 2 years. I was so shocked, I went, oh my God. You wasn't exalting us at all. I've been put in rooms and a person put next to me. Then any little bidding I had, I'd pick the phone up. And this person was a gopher. That's all they would do is just run for me. Had a car waiting, stand with a driver, standing by. I've been picked up in Rolls Royces, Mercedes Benzes. I've been protected from the crowd at times they wouldn't even let my own family in when my family said who they were. I'd find out about it later and it'd irritate the fire out of me. But that's how protected we are in our great office that we have been given to you for the maturing, so you could do the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body. But that wasn't what he was saying. What he was saying, that you are also a precious gift to the body, and that your calling and your office is every bit as important as mine. In fact, I've been called to be more of a servant to you than you to me. And we're not talking about you walking on my back as a mat. I'm talking about God has called me to serve spiritual things to you from His table. That's my job for your maturing. But your office is just as important as mine, and you should be treated with no more disrespect than I. You say, does He say that all that? Yes, He says it right in here. All of it right in here. Now look very, very closely at 10 again. At 11. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Now, that's the first category of apostle, prophet, teacher, preacher, workers of miracles, and gifts of healings. That's the first category. And the first category was given for what? 12th verse, for what? For the perfecting of the saints, or the maturing of the saints. That's what the first category is given for. We handle the word. Apostle, prophet, teacher, preacher, evangelist. We're given for the maturing of the saints. But what was the second category? What was the second category? Helps and governments. What is helps and governments given for? For the work of the ministry. What does it say after the perfecting of the saints in the 12th verse? What does it say? For the work of the ministry, meaning helps in governments was given for the work of the ministry. But then what's the third category? Divers tongues. What was it given for? Look at the last part of the 12th verse. For the edifying of the body of Christ. And He says, till we all come into the unity of the faith. Now you tell me. If we exclude the third category, the eighth operation, divers tongues, which He has listed it along with the fivefold for the maturing of the saints, along with helps and governments for the work of the ministry, He gave it for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, if we exclude this, how are we going to come to the unity of the faith? So go on, downplay it if you want. If we exclude it, then how are we ever going to come into the unity of the faith? Let me help you understand it a little more. In the 9th verse, He said, He ascended on high, and He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Meaning, when He rose from the dead, He ascended on high, with His blood sat down at the right hand of the Father and said, it's finished. And He began to fill all in all, the entire body of Christ, with His gifts. Let's say He gave gifts unto men, but let's say just for the sake of teaching, now just for teaching, you know, just teaching now, hypothetically speaking, just for teaching's sake, that He ascended three different times. And the first time, now we know He only ascended once and gave gifts unto men. But just to help clarify, let's say that He ascended three times, one for each category, then He came back, and then He said, the body needs more. So He ascended a second time and came back and looked it over and said, they need even more. And He ascended the third time, but each time He would take a handful of gifts and throw them out into His new formed little body upon the earth. He said first He gave apostles, prophets, teachers, preachers, evangelists. He ascended on high and took a handful of gifts and threw them into the body. And out amongst the body of Christ, certain people stood up who the gift was received by. And they said, one says, I'm an apostle. And another one says, well, the gift of the prophet landed on me. And another one says, well, the gift of teaching has landed upon me. And another one says, the pastoral gift has landed on me. And out of a crowd of 10,000, 100 stood up and said, we've received these gifts. You know, and all the rest are looking at them. He said, we received these gifts. This is wonderful. And then a bunch of them stood up and said, the evangelist gift has landed on me. This is wonderful. And Jesus looked the body over and said, it's not enough. It's not enough for the operation of the body of Christ. I must ascend and grab another handful. So he ascended and he got a whole handful of helps and governments and threw them out in the body. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people stood up who received that gift and said, my God, I have received the gift of helps and I have received the gifts of governments. And he says, now I can use these people to give my wisdom and instructions and insight in. And they can actually carry on the work of the ministry around the soul winning, the teaching, the maturing that's being carried on by the fivefold. And he looks them over and he says, it's not enough. They still have to learn to operate out of my spirit. It's not enough. So he ascended on high again and got a whole handful of the diversities of tongues. And he came back down and threw them into the body. And all of a sudden, every person out there stands up and goes, man, I have received tongues for personal edification. And then a whole bunch of them said, I've received tongues for prophecy. And a bunch of them lifted their hands and says, I've received it for the deep intercessional groanings. And then still a few of them that had been standing in evangelism and other things stood up and says, I received it in a sign for the unbeliever that when I'm preaching, he takes me over and I start preaching in their native tongue. But all of them received it for edification. Because if we're all going to come into the unity of the faith, then we need to learn how to activate the Holy Spirit, the teacher that He's placed down on the inside of us, who is more than willing to pray hour after hour after hour after hour in divine secrets and mysteries up before the Father, so that you can build yourself spiritually into the operation that God has separated you to at your rebirth. So he gave the eighth operation for what? For the edification of the saints till we all come into the unity of the faith. Now, of course, there's a big teaching that follows this. You know, goes after this. Now, we've heard exquisite teaching on the office of apostle, prophet, teacher, preacher, evangelist on our roles for the unity of the faith, for the maturing, extensive teachings on the offices we hold, do we not? And books are wrote about helps and governments, extended teaching on the role that helps and governments plays in the maturing of the saints. But where, my friend, is the extended teaching on the role that divers tongues plays in the edification of the body of Christ? It takes all three for you and I to arrive at the unity of the faith. Where is the extended teaching? For when I call you and separate you through ordination to an operation which I've placed you in, says the Spirit, that my power will qualify you to fulfill that office from within. For I've made all things possible to him that believeth, Therefore, approach not my presence in your own understanding and the ideals and creeds and doctrines as men would put them forth. But I've placed within you truth and an anointing which cannot lie. And this truth and will teach you all things. Yield yourself to my spirit for the purposes of edification, and I will lift you up. I will build you into every operation that I've separated you to and qualify you by my power, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. 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 And let me tell you, there isn't enough glory that goes with the eight operations. There isn't enough glory. I mean, you to lock yourself up, nobody knows about it, hour after hour, where's the glory? But, oh, we get a lot in the office of the apostle, a lot office of prophet, a lot office of teacher. Much less workings of miracles gives, lots and lots of glory. Why doesn't anybody want to operate in the eighth operation? No glory. So what do? We run around year after year changing churches. Why? Because we're the one that needed change, so we traded them in. When are we going to stop and start transforming to what we're hearing? When are you going to stick your feet on the rock and say, I'm tired of getting shoved around? This is the devil's Waterloo. I'm going to meet him right here on the rock. We're going to wage a war until I start coming out of it, because I'm not running anymore and I'm not changing my circumstances anymore. I'm going to stand and fight. And he gave you the eighth operation plus the Word of God plus all the rest of it to stand and make you fight with. He said, I have gave you this whole entire operation for your edification. Why won't you use it?
I'm busy scratching the living out.
Work 14 hours. By golly, unless you want to work 14 hours the rest of your life, I'd put in a couple hours later. Because the 2 hours will change the 14. What do you think about praying in tongues, Brother Roberson, in its basics? I tell you what I think about it. Some of you are frustrated. You've been beating the air so long, your confidence has been destroyed. You're hopping from church to church looking for answers. And I'm real glad you landed here. I didn't get you saved, so I knew somebody else did. We're jumping from place to place. We don't like the counsel one of them gives us, we go get it from another one. You know what we're looking for? We're looking for some old boy that'll agree with us. But watch out, he usually wants your money. But we jump around, we get counsel, we get it here or there from somebody that will identify more with us and our problem and how we believe. And a lot of times, you know, I could tickle your ears and preach. You don't think that I could conform myself to the most popular doctrines and get people in? That's the best. I mean, it's the one everybody's after for everything. I could do it. But that wouldn't mean I had your best interest at heart. But if I love you, I will teach you how to take a stand and put your feet on the rock and say, no more. Just changing my circumstances hasn't been the answer. I've got to stop somewhere and make my fight. And begin to transform to the Word of God that I've been hearing so that it can release my ministry. I want to be fruitful. I don't want to live with my eyes peeking above the water. I want to be fruitful. I want to enter in and fight this war. See? So that's why in this government of God we've introduced so violently the third category, the eighth operation, that assists its third part in bringing us into the unity of the faith, and that is the diversities of tongues, because it's the Holy Spirit's continual speaking of those mysteries and divine secrets through your spirit
that begins to cause the Word of God to come alive in you, that causes the edification of the body of Christ, that causes us to be purged from the things that are unlovely in us and begin to love each other and to begin to come into the unity as supplied by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Now, I wanted to go on to the end of the chapter, but I'm feeling like I cannot. I'm too far over in the Spirit. But no, you can't come here at 7 o'clock on Sunday mornings and spend 3 hours in prayer. You can't come on Wednesday nights and spend 2 or 3 hours in prayer. You can't spend those days riding around in your car praying in tongues. That's something very deep and very heavy in God's third category in His body is working wonderfully in you. And your seed is germinating. The imagery is coming out, stalks and leaves and little bitty fruits begin to form. That's when the joy and the peace and the long sufferings begin to come forth in your life until the great, great joys and peace of serving God will be delivered to you. Stay in. Not counting the revival you and I are going to have here. Oh, I had a whole second half. I just can't get into it. Are you understanding better that his role in government, that the diversities of tongues plays? Where is the extensive teaching, Kenneth? Back to the basics of faith.